නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානා පරිපූරේති තී. Dear Dhamma friends, we were discussing Anapana Sati Sutta, and which is available in Majjhima Nikaya, third book. And basically, here the story behind the sutta is where Buddha was staying Vassa, actually spending Vassa in that is the rainy season, that is 3 months, with many other arahants, senior arahants, at Migaramatupasada, or the monastery built by Visakha, and which is called Migaramatupasada, and that is where Buddha was spending his Vassa. So after the ending of Vassa, Buddha has seen that many monks, young monks especially, are practicing diligently, and the senior monks are advising them, and certain monks are advising 10 monks, 10 junior monks, another arahant is advising 20 junior monks, another arahant advising 30 junior monks, another arahant advising 40 junior monks. So likewise, all are practicing diligently, and so Buddha decided, let me stay here without going on to the other places. Let me stay here for another month, because the wandering may disturb the meditation. So probably Buddha wanted to continue the practice. So therefore he has given an opportunity for the others to continue their practice. So now the news spread, and the senior arahants also get to know that Buddha further spending time at the same place. So they continuously instructed the junior monks, and they also diligently practiced. And now that month also end. Now the complete rainy season has ended, and now again Buddha, while being in the open air with the other monks, so he again see that all these monks are quite pure. So some of them are arahants, some of them are non-returners, some of them are once returners, and some of them are stream winners, and all of them are practicing diligently. And therefore Buddha mentioned that if anyone is sort of giving any kind of a reverence, any kind of offering to these sort of monks, so that offering will be really fruitful. And further, Buddha mentioned that this Sangha is pleasing to stay with, and they are reverential, and they are worthy of respect. So likewise, the qualities of the Sangha Buddha mentioned at that time. And then he found that there are many different types of meditation techniques that they are following. Some are following for foundations of mindfulness, some are practicing Brahma Viharas, some are practicing this five or four kinds of striving, Iddhipada, and some are practicing five faculties, some are practicing five spiritual powers, some are practicing seven enlightenment factors, and some others are practicing Noble Eightfold Path. Likewise, there are many different types of meditation techniques or certain levels that monks are practicing. So now Buddha wanted to give a kind of a common type of practice which is suitable for everyone, and which is giving much more results. And again, in a way, if one practice systematically as Buddha preached, then there is a chance of fulfilling all four foundations of mindfulness using this technique, and again seven enlightenment factors using this technique, and again realizing Noble Eightfold Path, or the four noble truths, and that is the Vijja and Vimutti, that is attaining path and fruition. That is also possible. So what is the technique? So that is what Buddha going to explain here. So there is a systematic development of Anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing, and that is what now Buddha explaining in this sutta. So he starts with very basic instructions. He's asking the practitioner to find a suitable place, because as you know, for a beginner, it is necessary to have fairly calm environments, silent environment, because otherwise he may get distracted easily. So therefore, Buddha first of all advised to find out a very good place which is not noisy and good for meditation. So that is the first step. And then Buddha asked to sit down, sit cross-legged if possible, so that one is maintaining a symmetrical balance posture. This posture has to be well balanced and again easy to maintain, and again it allow the breathing to happen easily. There are no any restrictions, there are no any kind of obstacles for the breathing, so the breathing has to happen smoothly. Now with that kind of a posture and with that kind of an environment, then Buddha asked to establish mindfulness at the nostril. Now mindfulness is similar to a gatekeeper, so his task is assigned there, so he has to verify who is going in, but he is not following who is going in to the inside. Similarly, he has to verify who is going out, but he is not following who is going out and go away from the gate. Rather, his task is assigned at the gate. So similarly, we have to keep our attention at the nostril, and we also have to examine what is coming in, so that we are recognizing as in-breath. Then while we are staying further at the nostril, then we understand, okay, there is something coming out, and we are examining it, and then we notice it as out-breath. So likewise, we are assigned a task, that is to observe as much as possible in-breaths, as much as possible out-breaths. So as I explained last time, so here the task is to avoid missing any kind of in-breaths or out-breaths. So if our mind get distracted, so then there are maybe certain breaths that we have missed. They have gone, so we didn't notice them. So we have to sort of give a responsibility to the mind that not to miss any breaths, that he has to stay attentively at the nostril and to recognize each and every in-breath and out-breath. Suppose now that has done. Now we are coming to the Kayanupassana section. So that is the first part of this 16 types of 16 steps, we can say. And the first four steps are explained as the Kayanupassana, mindfulness on the body. Now, once the mindfulness has well established, so actually one may experience some amount of calmness, some amount of joy, because he is now free from distractions. So that also is a kind of an achievement. And his mind is calm, quiet, peaceful. But if he is satisfying with it without going further, that is not the proper way. So therefore, we have to go further without being satisfied that I have now established mindfulness. I am no wavering. Sort of, I can spend long time at the breath. So if we are doing simply like that, then we are not going further. So the next four steps explained as Kayanupassana are more relevant to the clear knowing or clear comprehending. Sampajanya. So in order to clearly know, first of all we need to establish mindfulness. So now the mindfulness has well established, and then the task is to examine the object. Now here the primary object is in-breath and out-breath. Now the yogi has to carefully examine in-breath and out-breath. Now when you are doing this, so you have to maintain some amount of a balance. Because if you become sort of agitated, if you are filled with so many doubts, or if you feel lethargic, if you feel drowsy, or if you have some preconceived ideas, then you can't do proper observation. Because in order to do a proper observation, our mind has to be simple, not conditioned. Rather, we are sort of investigating what is really going on. So this investigative approach or examining the primary object. So at that time we have to have kind of a non-judgmental attitude and we are not expecting breath to behave the way we want. Rather, we allow breath to behave as it likes. And again, we are maintaining a very balanced, equanimous mind without getting distracted. And with that kind of a background setup, we are examining the breath. So at that time, probably we may understand, okay, now I am experiencing breath for a long time. Say about 10 seconds I am experiencing in breath. For about 10 seconds I am experiencing out breath. So I am giving certain numbers just to explain. Don't think that that you have to measure, you have to find out a clock and experience. That is not the point. But I am using these numbers just to explain you. And so the yogi may understand, okay, now I am experiencing in-breath for a long time. And again, out-breath may be again a long time. Or probably he might understand the in-breath is longer, but out-breath is not that long. It may be a little shorter. Or in-breath is shorter, out-breath is comparatively longer. Or in-breath is cooler, out-breath is warmer. In-breath appears like touching certain part of the nostril, and the out-breath may be touching certain other part of the nostril. So likewise, subtle differences, subtle information now available to the yogi. So this indicates that his attention has fairly focused and with less distractions, and he was able to let go of all the conceptual proliferations and closely examine what is really going on. And the understanding whether the breath is long or short is actually the first and the second steps that Buddha explained as belonging to Kayanupassana. Because breath is part of the body. That is also well explained in this sutta. Buddha say, breath is very fundamental component or fundamental process of the body. Fundamental process of our existence. What is attached to the body. So whenever we are examining breath, so we are examining the whole body in a different way. So if one is able to examine breath very carefully, closely, so then we are practicing Kayanupassana, mindfulness on the body. Now when one is continuing like this, so the changes might happen. That means previously the in-breath was longer, now it can become shorter. Previously out-breath could be longer, now it can become shorter. So we have to allow that to happen. So we are not trying to keep anything fixed. Rather we have an attitude and kind of an open, flexible attitude. We allow the breathing to happen naturally. And we are simply accepting what is really going on. And we are examining those changes. And we are willing to accept those changes. And we should not think that at this time there are no distractions at all. There could be distractions, but we are not worried about them. So we have firmly established mindfulness, so we know how to handle if there are any distractions happen. We are not paying attention to those distractive thoughts. Rather, we are keeping our attention more and more with the breath. So with that, actually, we can calm down mental proliferation, because mental proliferation strengthens only when we are feeding it, when we are strengthening it. But right now we are more concerned about the breath. We are closely examining the breath. So that task is given more priority. As a result of that, conceptual proliferation won't get any strength from ourselves. So it becomes weaker and weaker. Even if mind distracted for a moment, it may quickly return back. So these, say, positive symptoms you may be able to observe in your meditation. That actually should be able to verify by yourself. Say a couple of weeks ago how I was, after another week how I am, and now how I am. So likewise, you are able to comparatively understand the improvement of the mindfulness, the improvement of the, say, concentration, clear comprehension. So likewise, certain spiritual qualities that we are talking, you are able to verify. Now, when we go to the third step, Buddha mentioned, so now he has to further restrain himself because now the task become more delicate, more subtle. Now you got to experience the whole breath. Now breath is not something abruptly appear, rather it appear very slowly, and then it is reaching some middle area, and then it is fading away, and ultimately it completely disappear. Now you have kind of a blank, a short blank period, and then the out breath also similarly starts very subtle way, and then it reaches the middle area where we can comprehend fairly, and then that also fade away and ultimately disappear. Now we are coming to a blank area, very short gap. After that, the next in-breath starts. So likewise, there is a cyclical behavior of this breathing pattern, breathing process. So now one is trying to comprehend this whole cycle. So that is the third step. So knowing beginning, middle, end of in-breath, one is continue one's practice. Beginning the knowing the beginning, middle, and the end of the out-breath, one is continue the practice. Not only that, he may be able to notice the little gaps in between in-breath and the out-breath, out-breath and the in-breath. So this indicates that his mindfulness is improving, clear comprehension is improving, and he is able to examine very subtle phenomena very carefully. Because you know, the breath itself is a very refined object. So if one is able to understand the beginning of it, the middle of it, the end of it, that indicates very refined mindfulness in himself, and fairly advanced clear comprehension in himself. Now these are not only subjected to breathing, but these skills that we are developing may be available throughout our daily life as well. Now you are able to examine any other situation also carefully, without being biased, and without getting emotional. So you are able to examine any kind of a situation with some equanimous mind. So these skills that we develop in Anapanasati is not limited to Anapanasati. So these are spiritual qualities we slowly make use of during the daily life as well. So this is a kind of an attitude change is going on, and behavioral change is carefully going on, and mental development is also going on, and cognitive development also coming on, so towards the next parts. So we need to understand that we are behaving carefully, behaving well, there are no any doubts, no any perplexities. So we are sure now this is the in-breath, we are sure this is the out-breath. So likewise, we are restraining ourselves, and we are not allowing mind to become drowsy and sleepy, and then we become lethargic. We are not allowing that either, and carefully doing the observation. So therefore, Buddha, while explaining this step, he uses the term sikkhati, that means carefully restraining oneself. Because at this subtle state, if you start to say switch the object, if you start to become drowsy, if you start to forcefully breathe, or if you start to change the posture, so the whole system may collapse, because you are in a very delicate balance and you got to maintain it. And while doing that, now more and more kind of a joy going to arise, because no distractions, mind is quite happy, the whole world has become secondary, and you are given more prominence to the breathing. So therefore, mind become more and more satisfied, and even if it distracted for a moment, it quickly returns back. Now you are able to let go of the whole world, all the distractions, by means of this breathing process. Now probably when we are doing like this, now we may understand, okay, these different phases of the breath become more and more clear to us. And on the other hand, we can say the clear comprehension improving, mindfulness is sharpening. As a result of that, more subtle details going to be available. And not only that, maybe where exactly the breathing is happening, or the breath is touching, and what exactly is the whether it is say cool or warm. So that is also can be understood. Or even suppose in-breath is cooler, so you might be able to understand, okay, how this cooling sensation starts, how you are coming to a more prominent area, and how this cooling sensation disappear. And you may reach a region where you can't really distinguish whether it is in-breath or out-breath. Now you feel a little bit of warm sensation, so that could be the beginning of the out-breath. And now you are experiencing more warmer area, that may be the middle, and now you are experiencing the end of the out-breath, so now it is fading away. So likewise, you can understand breathing in different ways as well, either with respect to the temperature, or whether it is long or short, whether it's the beginning, the middle, the end. So likewise, these very subtle aspects of the breathing become more and more evident to you. Now, rationally, we might think as we are continuing, this cycle may grow indefinitely. So that is the rational way of thinking, that we might feel, okay, this process is now going on, and more subtle information is going to be available. And next week I may get more information. Another week I may get more information. Another month, after another month, I get more information. So that would be the logical thinking that we might have. But at one point, there's a complete different thing going to happen. So that is the fourth step that Buddha is explaining. So due to our close attention, there is an interesting phenomena happening here. Rather than subtle aspects, more and more subtle aspects become evident to us, now there's a kind of a transition happens here. So there is a growing, increasing phase where more and more details become available. And after a point, it turns to the other side. It now become more and more sort of mixed. You can't recognize whether it is the beginning, the middle, the end, or whether this is even the in-breath or the out-breath. Even that kind of information going to be missed, or rather, you can't perceive. And breath becomes more and more subtler. Previously it may be subtle, but now it is more subtler. And it can even reach the subtlest. So there you can't comprehend whether it is the in-breath or the out-breath. So subtle. At that time there are certain obstacles, like you may fall asleep because the object has become almost disappeared and there is nothing much to do. Breathing is so soothing and mind feel quite tranquil. So most probably, whenever you are experiencing this kind of a state, most probably you might feel sleep, fall asleep. Now, on the other hand, since the object becomes subtler and subtler, so mind has no place to establish, latch on. As a result of that, more distractions also can happen. You are building up mindfulness and slowly you are improving, but once you reach this stage, the object of your attention becomes subtler and subtler, so therefore, mind has sort of no steady, strong place to establish. As a result of that, mind starts to wander. So these are the sort of difficulties that we may come across when we are reaching this kind of a state. And on the other hand, some people are thinking, okay, I am not getting enough oxygen, I better breathe longer, a forceful breathing. So those kind of unnecessary doubts are also sometimes coming in. So if one is skillful, one has to avoid all these unnecessary obstacles. One is the doubt, thinking that I have to control breathing or I might not get enough oxygen, or that kind of a thinking that we have to completely avoid. Similarly, changing of postures, we have to avoid. We have to maintain the same posture very carefully. And again, we should not allow the mind to fall asleep. And we should not change the object. And we have to carefully keep our attention on breathing, and that is actually fading away. In-breath is now disappearing, out-breath is also becoming subtler and disappearing, and we can't actually distinguish whether it is the in-breath or out-breath. So there is something is there, very subtle sensation, that's it. So if we are able to maintain that kind of a situation, such balanced, equanimous attitude, then breath completely calms down. Passambhayam kaya sankharam asati samiti sikkati. So passambhayam citta sankharam asati samiti. Sorry, passambhayam kaya sankharam passati samiti sikkati. So this kaya sankhara is a term for the in-breath and out-breath, the breathing process. So we allow this breathing process to calm down, to tranquilize. So instead of we are trying to make it more gross and easy to understand or easy to perceive, now we are allowing breathing to disappear even. So we are not sort of shocked, or we are not panicked when breathing is disappearing. Rather, so according to the Buddha's instructions, we know now it is there's a kind of a disappearing cycle, disappearing process, fading away process that I may go through. So once you are experiencing it, you allow it to happen. You support that calming down process. So that is where Buddha mentioned, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the bodily formation. So breathing is going on, but it becomes more and more subtle and you can't even perceive. And we should not fall asleep. So these are, easy to say, but for a beginner, when one is reaching this stage, so it would be very difficult, because this is a very subtle stage and you have to have practical experience in this. You have to balance the faculties. So likewise, there are many practical points that you have to follow carefully, otherwise you won't succeed at this point. And already actually we have stopped noting in the sense labeling, in-breath, out-breath. Likewise, we were noting at the beginning, but that has to be altogether stopped when we are coming these subtle stages, because that indicates more effort, and that is an hindrance to refine concentration. So once we reach a fair amount of concentration or the tamed mind, we have to avoid any kind of noting, labeling, that means mentally verbalizing, that we have to altogether stop. And with a very quiet mind, we have to observe the process. That allows breathing to further calm down. That allows mind to further calm down. That allows mind to further concentrate. So that concentration won't happen if we continue to note the process. If we continue to label, if you continue to verbalize what is going on. So the vitakka, that means again and again using a term like in-breath or out-breath, in, out. So likewise, so if we are using such terms in order to recognize these objects, so then actually we can't reach very subtle stages. So therefore the yogi, once he realizes, okay, now mind has fairly calmed down, not necessary to verbalize, not, then he has to stop noting and has to maintain a very quiet mind. With that quiet mind, one is able to reach the other stages. Now, Buddha says, these are the stages belonging to Kayanupassana. Now, when one is furthering his practice, now he is reaching the Vedanupassana section. So Buddha mentioned there are four steps indicating Kayanupassana, and now we can go to the Vedanupassana as well. Actually, at this stage also, there is a possibility that one may look at this process more with the Vipassana point of view. That actually I can explain when we are reaching the Dhammanupassana section. So I am not going to touch at this level because for a beginner, looking at this whole process from the Vipassana point of view might be a little difficult. But for the time being, I am leaving it here, and I am going to explain that when we are reaching Dhammanupassana section. And so we are going to the next section, that is the Vedana Anupassana. So now, when this whole process calmed down, when breathing also calmed down, and there are no any pains and aches coming from the body, so basically our task is fairly accomplished. So we want to be mindful, we want to establish concentration, we want to have some tranquility, and body also not feeling any kind of pain. So the whole situation is quite comfortable. So as a result of that, there's a little rupture going to arise. Piti patisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati. Piti patisangvedi pasasi samiti sikkhati. Sukha patisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati. Sukha patisangvedi pasasi samiti sikkhati. So a rupture can arise, and again kind of a happy, pleasant feeling can arise. So different pleasurable feelings can arise. So all sorts of positive or happy type of feelings can now arise. Now your body previously giving lot of trouble with lot of pains and aches, but now no more. And mind also was wandering previously, but now no more. Everything is in very good balance. As a result of that, certain amount of joy is now arising. Now Buddha points out here that you have to maintain kind of a different attitude here. That is, rather than getting attracted to this rapturous or joyful experience, or claiming it as my rapture, my happiness, now you have to look at it objectively. Probably you can understand, while we are at the Kaya Anupassana section, we allow the breathing to happen naturally, and we were able to look at it objectively like an outsider. Body is breathing, but we are observing. So the breathing process is one process, we can say a bodily process. Observation process is another process, which is a mental process. And we were able to kind of distinguish these two. We were able to have some sort of a distance between these two. We allow the body to breathe, that is one process, a separate process, and we are able to observe it carefully from distant. So this perspective is extremely important. And we are learning that perspective while in the Kaya Anupassana section. Looking at the process like someone else's process. We typically use the term parato. Parato is a Pali term where we are maintaining an attitude, kind of a perspective. We are observing a bodily process like someone else's process. So this is the parato. Now, once we learn this perspective, so it has to be broadened and it has to be further carried forward into the other sections as well. Now, when we are experiencing happiness, when we are experiencing joy, when we are experiencing rapture, so same attitude has to be maintained. So it may be joyful, we are experiencing real happiness, but we should not attach to that. We should not sort of claim that I am happy. Rather it is happiness, rather it is joy, rather it is rapture. So objectively we have to look at it. So that is where the key point that we are now going through Vedana Anupassana. Now, pleasurable feelings we can quickly attach to, and we may grasp them, and we want to have them more and more, and we may even sit to experience them. So likewise, we may do something wrong. So rather than doing that, we allow things to happen naturally as a cause and effect relationship. And when rupture, joy, happiness, pleasure arising, we are able to observe them distantly, maintaining that correct attitude, correct perspective. Sukhapatisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati. So the body is now going through kind of a comfortable situation, feeling at ease. Mind is also comfortable, very light, no any distractions, no any hindrances. As a result of that, mind is quite happy. So that pleasant feelings, now you are observing objectively. So as you know, there are three types of feelings: pleasurable feelings or sukhavedana, then painful feelings, dukkhavedana, equanimous feelings, that is adukkama sukhavedana. Now mostly we are going through the sukhavedana, pleasurable feelings, pleasant feelings, happy feelings, and we should be able to observe them objectively. So if we are able to observe them objectively, and then there may be a situation that our concentration further growing. Again, we are able to recognize feelings with more subtle details. And maybe the pleasure also, happiness also, probably you can understand it's a kind of, there's a beginning to that, there's a middle area where the intense happiness is observed, and there's a kind of a fading away part as well. So this is the careful observation. So we are examining the sort of happiness, examining the pleasure, examining the joy objectively. As a result of that, the behavior of that could be able to recognize carefully. And now further Buddha mentioned, breathing in, experiencing the mental formation. Now experiencing the mental formation is another part where we may go through. The mental formation is nothing but feeling and perception. Mental formation, Chitta Sankhara. Chitta Sankhara is a term collectively used to represent feelings and perceptions. Now, another interesting phenomena that we might go through at this level is that when mind is reaching this kind of a state, so there are no gross objects to latch on. There are no gross objects to establish on. So as a result of that, the consciousness, vijnana, may take certain memories available in our mind, kind of a stored memories available. From that, certain gross perceptions, signs, marks, probably can come out. Say for example, if you are a very faithful character and you are reaching this kind of a state, there may be an appearance of, say, a Buddha image. There may be an appearance of a pagoda or Sri Mahabodhi, or whatever that you feel like more pleasant, faithful. So such an object probably can appear. I'm not telling that everybody may experience it, but for certain people, such an image probably can appear. Or certain other people, they might say, if you are a little bit of an angry character, then probably kind of a skeleton, maybe a devil kind of a character, sorry, devil kind of an image. So some sort of a fearful image also can happen. So by the way, important thing that Buddha wants to highlight here is all these are merely perceptions, mental images. Marichika upama sanya. So therefore Buddha warns us, telling these are like a mirage. Don't get carried away by them. Even if it is a Buddha image, even if it is a pagoda, even if it is a skeleton, even if it is a devil image, don't consider them as real. They are merely mental images. Your eyes are closed, but this is a mind-made image. So that we have to be very carefully understood. It may be very attractive or it can be even frightening, but it's a mental image. It's a mind-made one. It has happened because mind has no place to establish. Strictly speaking, the consciousness has no place to establish. As a result of that, some stored information, stored perceptions are now coming out, and it is manifesting like a Buddha image or pagoda or demon or skeleton or whatever it is, past devil relative or whatever it is. And if we are giving any value to it, if you consider it as something real, then we are deluded. But we have to very carefully remember Buddha's advice. All these perceptions, all these mental images, all these signs are merely mental images. They are like a mirage. They are not real water. They are not real. So if we are able to handle them carefully at this stage, then we can say, so different mental formations are going on, maybe feelings, maybe different perceptions, but I know how to handle them carefully. I am not carried away by them. I am not grasping them. I am not adding any value to them. I am not making them something substantial. But I know that they are mental formations, mind-made ones. So if we are able to handle these things carefully, then we reach the eighth stage. So Buddha mentioned tranquilizing mental formations. Now you are able to tranquilize mental formations. So you can see how carefully Buddha is taking us to the more and more advanced stages. So now we are dealing with the different states of the mind in a way. So as the bodily process calms down, consciousness wants something to establish. So now it is picking, or now it is using certain tactics to establish. Now one tactic is to use these stored perceptions, signs, memories. But if we give emphasis to them, then we are getting deluded. Again we are thinking, again we are sort of establishing consciousness on some other thing, and we are being caught. Rather, if we are using our wisdom and strictly following Buddha's teaching, we understand them as mental images, perceptions, and as a result of that, they are not getting any strength from us, so they start to fade away. Now, no feelings at all, no perceptions at all. Mind become more and more clear. So we are now continuing our practice, tranquilizing all these mental formations. Different feelings are coming and they are going. Different perceptions are coming and they are going. Why? We are not promoting them. We are not sort of feeding them. We are not grasping them. We know how to handle them. As a result of that, all the formations, mental formations, are now calming down. So this is the four steps that Buddha explained as belonging to Vedananupassana. First stage is that we may experience certain pleasurable feelings, and that also we are looking at objectively. Second stage is we getting more subtle pleasurable feelings, mostly happy feelings, feeling at ease. So that is also we are looking at objectively, we are not grasping it. And there may be a situation, certain other perceptions also might arise with different images, mental images, etc. That also we are not grasping. We know that it's a mirage. And as a result of that, all these start to calm down. Now mind become more clear, like transparent, and no objects at all. And now the tranquilizing has happened. So that is the fourth stage. So these are the eight stages. First four stages belong into Kayanupassana. Next four stages belong into Vedananupassana, and next week we'll go into the Chittanupassana stages. And with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
Thank you, Pandey. Sadhu. So if anyone is not familiar and joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you can also send them to me via chat. I'd like to invite Radhika to please ask the first question. Radhika, you may unmute.
Thank you, Jennifer. It took me a while to unmute.
No worries.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
My question is on sitting meditation. And actually, I had written this before, but some of what you said was very relevant for me. So I will still read it the way I had written it. Is mm-hmm. that okay?
Yeah.
And this one is over a week. So there is a changing, and I have noted the changing also.
Yeah, I mean, if you can read the most recent one, that is better.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think if you you don't mind, I will read it, because it was like that for 4 days and it changed on Sunday.
Okay, okay.
It's not that long. So as instructed, if it's okay by you, I will do it this way, but I'll get confused. Okay, so as instructed, I increased my walking meditation and reduced my walking meditation and reduced the time of my sitting meditation to less than an hour, say about 45 minutes. I used the silent noting in out as the breath was short, that's right at the start. The in-breath was cooler than the out-breath. That's at the start because I came straight from the walking meditation and I had already noticed it in my walking meditation. After some time, the breath became quite subtle. I never noticed the beginning, middle and the end like you talked about. It just became subtle. Then my awareness was drawn to subtle sensations like vibrations that were not unpleasant or pleasant. It was similar to what one feels when one is cold. It started under my right arm and moved down my body and down the arm. Then I felt a similar sensation on the left side from time to time. I also felt it on my chest. These vibrations were arising and falling very fast. It was accompanied by a cooling of the body. This pattern continued for a few days with the vibrations getting less and less by the day. So this is from last Tuesday to about Friday or Saturday. During these days, I also awoke earlier than usual. When I was in the half-awake state with my eyes still closed, these vibrations were quite pronounced and appeared all over my body. Not every day, but maybe 2 or 3 days on that week. I observed them silently for some time. They stopped when I opened my eyes and got up to meditate. Last Sunday morning, early morning, my sitting meditation started as usual. But after the breath got subtle, my awareness moved to the rising and falling of the abdomen. It was quite clear and pronounced, and I remained with...
Can't hear you, Radhika. Jennifer, can you hear?
No, I also cannot hear. Radhika, I think we may have lost you, your connection. Yeah, I don't hear anything from her, Bhante.
Yeah.
Maybe she is rejoining.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Kumudini, you may unmute.
Bhante?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I have a similar question about the meditation. Now, you explain those steps by step, but I don't go through all those steps.
Yeah.
I come to feeling the pleasurable sensations very fast.
Correct.
So,
that's very true.
What do I
do? No, I mean, nothing to do. So, that is the way it is. So at the beginning, so these steps are sort of noticeable and we may go through one after the other. But as we become more and more familiar with these states and more sort of seasoned in our practice, so we may quickly come to the other, the advanced states, or rather the not the previous ones, but the former ones very quickly. As you said, immediately we may not notice whether it is long or short, whether it is the beginning, middle or end, so we are not noticing them, but we quickly the body become calm, quiet, and all the mental formations are calm, tranquilized, and mind is concentrated. So we may come to that very quickly, and that is very normal. So we don't need to expect that every session, every day, after several years, we have to experience all these stages. it may not happen like that.
Also, Pante, you were saying that you can look at your what you're experiencing, like you're observing it on somebody else's and not your. I have had that happen to me.
Correct.
And also, so what do I do next? And I also have seen this Bhanga Jnana.
Yeah.
The dissolution, not with this this technique, but I saw it with the Goenka technique.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm practicing this and that both together.
Yeah. No, actually, when we are discussing what you call Dhammanupassana, so these stages are again very clear. That's why I explained now, while even at the Kayanupassana section, we can slowly look at it from the Vipassana point of view. Similarly, while we are at the Vedanupassana section, we can look at it from the Vipassana point of view. I didn't go to that because stepwise or gradually we can go to that. So that's why I didn't cover that. That is quite explained well in the Dhammanupassana section. Anicca-anupassi, Viraga-anupassi, Nirodha-anupassi, Patinissagga-anupassi. So those are the stages, concisely explained in the Vipassana process in this sutta. So when we are there, actually I will touch this Vipassana aspect with respect to Kaya-anupassana, Vedana-anupassana and Chitta-anupassana.
Bhante, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Now, the jhanas that people, get to, at what stage do you get into that?
Yeah, actually, that is where now we can divert from this Vipassana process to the jhana. So, point is, while we are at the Kayanupassana section, so rather than trying to examine the breath, rather than trying to closely investigate the breath, if we simply maintain our attention at the nostril, simply with bare attention, without trying to comprehend the breath, without trying to investigate the breath, then we are giving more prominence to the concentration. We are simply maintaining our attention there. So as a result of that, then the anapanasati nimitta, what we call as the counterpart sign, may arise. So using which one can attain jhana. So actually here Buddha emphasizing the vipassana approach rather the and not the samatha approach. So samatha is possible even from the even at the level of kayanupassana, where you are not examining the breath closely, rather simply you are using breath to develop concentration. That is also possible. But here, more into the Vipassana approach.
Mante, I also have one quick question. Now, I have been listening to some, a lot of Dhamma talks and all that. And they say that you cannot gain enlightenment unless you go to jhana.
Mm-hmm.
And is this jhana that, that stage at which we divert to Vipassana, is that level sufficient?
So that is a kind of a...
They call it concentration. Uh-huh. Is that sufficient?
No, actually, when we are reaching the fourth stage of Kayanupassana, here, like Passam, Bhayam, Kaya, Sankharam, all these stages, so that is actually we are experiencing concentration. It is not jhana. It is not jhana.
Yeah.
It is not jhana, but it is a fair amount of concentration. Say, without that concentration, you can't clearly distinguish whether it is the beginning of the in-breath, the middle of the in-breath, the end of the in-breath. So those kind of subtle information is only available if your mind is well concentrated. So the mindfulness and concentration is fairly advanced. So at this stage, so the point is that you don't need to get absorbed to anything. So if you get absorption, then that is jhana, where your mind is very much like stuck with something. Say for example, if we consider jhana, say while in Kayanupassana or rather in simply observing the breath. So now assume that you are not examining the breath, rather you are simply maintaining your attention at the nostril. That's it. And long time you are doing it. Then more and more mind become collected, focused more at the at the nostril, and now the counterpart sign arise, nimitta arise, kind of maybe manifested like a light or something like that. Then now you are maintaining it further, and it becomes more and more brighter, and at a given moment you get absorbed to it. Now you are in a jhana.
Right.
Yeah.
Bhante, now in the stages of enlightenment, you know, to get to the final stage, they say you must have jhana.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We need to discuss differently. Actually, the jhana, what you talk at the very mundane level, is very much like absorption, very much like you are being stuck in it, you are being locked in it. But when one is developing vipassana, you know the kind of a balance. You are not actually stuck in the jhana, you are not like really absorbed in the jhana, but the way a person more advanced in vipassana, how he handles jhana is different from a typical mundane handling of jhana. So when one is practicing vipassana, so he too goes through jhanic state. It is not purely samatha, but more powered or more sort of supported by wisdom.
So it's like a kanika.
Kanika samadhi. Yeah, Kanika Samadhi is something fundamental that even before may experience. Now, say for example, when you are experiencing certain feeling, so again and again, you know, mind is established on feeling. So that we can say Kanika Samadhi. But here I am talking more advanced, where even one may pass that and one is not grasping anything at all. And as a result of that, you get Samadhi. Now, typical samatha samadhi, typical samatha jhana is where your mind get latched on to something, your mind being locked on to some object. But here, not being grasping anything, not holding anything, mind become concentrated. So this is a different way, we can say.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It cleared a lot of, thoughts I had in my mind.
Yeah.
I am so happy I talked with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Much many thanks to you. Bhante, thank you.
Okay.
Perhaps we can go back to Radhika. Let's see, you may finish your report. Radhika, you may unmute.
Jennifer, I'm sorry, Bhante.
Yeah.
My computer locked up, so I had to reboot.
Right.
Now, I have to summarize the first bit. So, the first 4 days, the mind became very calm, the breath became subtle, and then I started feeling these vibrations, first on the body, under my armpit and down the arms. Then by about day four, and I used to also get it in the nights when I'm just about to get up. The whole body, it was like full of vibrations. Then, little by little, it got lesser and lesser in my meditation, and then on Sunday morning, I had no vibrations at all. And then my morning sitting meditation started as usual. But after the breath got subtle, my awareness moved the rising, falling of the abdomen, because no longer I'm feeling it in my nostrils. It was quite clear and pronounced, and I remained with the abdomen. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's what I did. I had to note it as in and out, not as rising or falling, because it was so short. The word rising was too long. I noticed that there was no sensation or feelings. That means I didn't have any vibrations or anything in the upper body. But I knew that I was seated and felt the pressure on the seat of my cushion, which I noted as touching. I also noted the pressure on the side of my foot. I was seated cross-legged on the meditation cushion, where it was pressed against the ground. I remained like this without drowsiness for the rest of the meditation. So this whole week, I didn't fall asleep because I have reduced it the way you said. Please, Bhante, advise me on my practice of walking meditation so that I can improve.
Yeah, so basically what you did is correct, that when you understand, okay, rising and falling, that terms are too long, you have simply used one or two or in, out, so that's fine. So basically, slowly we have to minimize that noting. Now, ultimately, you can completely give it up. and you can observe the whole process quietly. So if we are able to do that, then the process become more and more clear, and even rising and falling may even disintegrate, like divided into many small parts. It may not be a complete rising, one unit kind of a rising, but rather a series of risings. Falling is also something like that, a series of fallings. So that indicates that you are carefully comprehending the process. This is not something, one unit. Rather, it's a combination of minor parts, minor components. So likewise, we are able to penetrate the Ganasanya, the perception of compactness. We are able to penetrate, and now we understand, okay, this is kind of a process. These are a combination of many, many minor or little processes. And now even you are able to examine that even such little process has a beginning, has a middle, and has an end. Or at least has a beginning and has an end, because it quickly fades away. But there's a beginning and there's an end. There's a beginning and there's an end. So likewise, so you are carefully observing this different phenomena, and you don't need to name them as rising or falling or this and that. So name is not the important thing, but to understand now these are merely processes, these are merely different phenomena. So, but they are representing, they are behaving with some common way. They all have something beginning and they all have sort of some ceasing, or they all fading away, they all ends. So if you are able to continue like this, then more bends towards the vipassana. Now we are looking at them objectively, not grasping, not rejecting, allowing them to happen as they wish. And we do very unbiased observation. And using that observation, we are understanding different, aspects. We are getting more insights based on how they are happening. It is not that we learn from the Buddha. Rather, we with our own direct understanding. It's an experiential knowledge. So they are teaching us in a way. So they are behaving the way they want. And now we are observing carefully. And it is actually in par with what Buddha has taught. So that is the way that we have to approach. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. Now, that was Sunday. So now, today early morning, I didn't go that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said it's changing. The breath got very, very subtle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying very hard not to let myself fall asleep. But unless I noticed that the breath was very, very subtle and hardly I felt it there, but I didn't go to the abdomen. So if I feel that the breath is getting very subtle and I might fall asleep, and I can feel sensation elsewhere, like the seat of where I'm seated, the touch of my bottom on the cushion, or I can feel the breath on the abdomen, should I move from the breath on the nostrils, which I'm not feeling, or should I just try to remain there? What? I'm not sure. That's where I had doubt and I wasn't sure what I should be doing.
Yeah, so basically now at this stage, we are handling different ways. So one approach is simply staying with the breath and allowing it to completely fade away without we are shifting to anything else. So that is also possible. But here we have to look at breath in a different way. Not like breath, but it is coming and going. It's a little sensations or rubbing sensation, maybe warm, maybe cool. So likewise, now more kind of elementary characteristic level, we are observing through breath as well. But on the other hand, once breathing calms down, probably we can shift to other object like what you did previously, maybe rising and falling, maybe other sensations. Now, using which, now we are observing them. Because this observation is the most important thing. So we are able to establish mindfulness, we are able to establish concentration. For what? In order to do this observation. Observation is the one producing wisdom. Now, different phenomena are available throughout the body, It may be bodily phenomena, it may be we can consider them as feelings, and using which we are developing some amount of wisdom simply by observing them. And they are behaving the way they want. And by observing their behavior, we are learning. So therefore, doesn't matter either you observe rising and falling, or either you observe breathing, or either you observe any other sensation, doesn't matter, because they behave the same way. They are teaching us the same teaching. Did you get the point?
Yes, thank you very much, because I'm not seeing the beginning, middle and end in the breath.
Right.
I can feel the whole and the warm, especially as I start, because as I said, I'm first doing the walking meditation and coming there, and already in the walking meditation, when I'm supposed to be on the feet, sometimes I feel the nostrils and I feel the breath going in colder. So as I sit down, it's very pronounced. But later it goes away there before I can feel the beginning, middle and the end. So if that happens and I can feel the abdomen, then maybe I should try it in the abdomen to see the beginning, middle and the end. I can see the beginning, middle and end in the vibrations.
Right. So these vibrations, all these different vibrations, sensations, movements, all these are valid. So you can observe them more and more.
Right. So if they come and go, I just let it come and go, because the
correct.
Why did they have any vibrations?
Yes,
they,
yes.
They faded out.
Correct. So right. You don't need to do anything. Simply observe.
Right.
You are simply witnessing the process.
Right. Thank you very much, Bande.
Terwan Sanai.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bhante, you were explaining the second tetra where the Buddha talks about experiencing rapture and then happiness or pleasure.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say experiencing the mental formations, which you said chitta sankara.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, these feelings and then you said mental formations comprises feelings and perceptions, but feelings and perceptions do come together, don't they, Bhante? Even when you have rapture and happiness, isn't that also both coming together? So what
correct,
is the difference?
Correct. Now, difference is that to which are you giving the prominence? Now, even at the Kayanupassana level, feelings are there, perceptions are there, but we are not giving prominence to them, rather we are giving prominence to the bodily formations. So various different kinds of, say, rupa, the body parts. So that is where, what we need to understand is the five aggregates are there every time, but to which aggregate are we giving the prominence? So while being in the Kayanupassana, we are giving more prominence to the rupa, the material aggregate. But in the Vedananupassana, the first few stages, we are giving more prominence to the feelings, the Vedana. In the second, or rather the third, we are giving prominence to the perceptions, the sanya.
Yeah, but that is your singhaling can dhanenava, that is what you talk about perception.
Dhanenava is typically used for feelings.
Feeling.
Now sometimes people are using penenava. It is not through the eyes. Your eyes are closed. But mental images are appearing in your mind. So that's why
you're talking about the mental images.
Yeah, mental images, exactly.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. So then that is more perception. Like sometimes
exactly.
You see these brilliant colors and all, those are perceptions, right?
That also you have to be careful here. Brilliant colors are sort of signs of concentration. Now here the perceptions are more mundane type of perceptions. Say like you are seeing a Buddha image, like you are seeing a dead person, a pagoda, Sri Mahabodhi, a skeleton. So these are sort of mundane type of perceptions. So those are the ones possible at this stage while your eyes are closed. So we need to understand they are merely a mirage. They are mind-made objects. We don't need to give any value to them.
The other other question is that in this translation, it comes frequently. He trains thus, my child being experiencing rapture.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can train. I mean, doesn't it just come on? I mean,
what
do they mean by trains thus?
No.
This is being used frequently in the.
Yes.
In this particular Anapanasati.
Yeah, the Pali term here is sikkhati. So here training in the sense, so the mind is going through this process, but you got to sort of restrain yourself not to change the posture, not to encourage any doubts, not to forcefully breathe, or not to sort of bias in the observation. So that kind of a very balanced, delicate observation has to be maintained. So that is a kind of a training. Now probably you can remember while in the Kaya Anupassana section is also the first two parts, Digangva Asasanto Digang Asasamiti Pajanati. Rasangva Asasanto Rasang Asasamiti Pajanati. The term used is Pajanati. So that is the knowing. Kind of a normal kind of knowing that you know it is long, it is short, but when you reach the third stage, sabbakaya patisangvedi asasissamiti sikkhati. So sikkhati is now introduced because now what you got to do is more subtle, more delicate. Previously it's a matter of understanding whether it's long or short, but it is even more careful attention has to be put in. When you are examining whether it is the beginning, the middle, the end, so that indicates you need fair amount of restrainment, otherwise you can't do it. So same thing
that
is...
That is why they have put in this training.
Yeah, the term Bhikkhu Bodhi has used is training. The Pali term is sikkhati. Sikkhati denotes not only training, I mean sort of you are carefully doing it, at the same time you are behaving really well. You are unnecessary, not encouraging any doubts. So it's a kind of a restrainment.
Yes. So in this last thing also he says, the last thing of the second tetrad, I shall breathe, tranquilizing the mental formation. So that also is...
So it is not that I am tranquilizing... Rather, the way I am behaving, how I am restraining, how I am dealing with these feelings and perceptions, caused them to tranquilize. Because I am not deluded by them, I am not encouraging them, I am not feeding them, I am not grasping them. So automatically they start to fade away, tranquilize.
So isn't that the first jhana,
Bhante? No, that's why I am telling, in the first jhana, we are in one way, our mind is established on happiness.
Yes.
So, you know, typically it is mentioned as vitakka vichara, piti sukha, ekagata.
Yes.
So, those are there.
Yeah.
So, those qualities are there, but mind has somewhat locked with kind of a state. Now here,
I understand one thing.
So mind, we have no control at all. Mind has absorbed to some sort of a state and it is locked there. But here it is a little different. So you are with full control. So you know very well. I mean, mindfulness is in the front. Mindfulness is the one governing the whole process. This is not the concentration. But in the jhana, concentration has taken the upper hand. Here the mindfulness and wisdom has taken the upper hand. Actually the term used is the sati sampajanya. So mindfulness and clear comprehension, mindfulness and wisdom. So that has taken the upper hand, not the concentration.
So in this particular sutta, is Buddha trying to point out the Vipassana training, or is he keeping it open for whatever way it goes?
No, I feel here more into the Vipassana, not the jhana, but actually some people are trying to interpret this sutta also like jhana, and only one may do Vipassana at the Dhammanupassana section. But the thing is, Buddha, when he is explaining Dhammanupassana, so the all those Vipassana techniques highlighted there is applicable to Kayanupassana, applicable to Vedanupassana, applicable to Chittanupassana. So actually the practical point is here is that at the beginning, user or the beginner doesn't know whether it is jhana or Vipassana or any of these. So he sometimes experiences certain amount of absorption as well. There is no big harm in doing that. But later, when he clearly know all these four stages and well experienced in it, so then he know how to handle them.
Yeah, because in the retreat situation, I frequently go into that. So I have luckily not bothered whether it's done or it doesn't matter. I just let it happen and let it go. Let it happen.
Yes. So we don't need to purposely stop.
Yes.
We should not. Actually, at the very early stages, we don't have knowledge to distinguish, and we should not control, abruptly. Rather, we have to allow things to happen till we get some experience. Because without knowing, without have any kind of hands-on experience, we can't even explain what is really going on.
Exactly. It's better to let it just happen.
Get some experience, and later you know, okay, this is what has happened. Say a couple of months ago, this is what has happened. Now what is happening? So likewise, your vocabulary also improving, and your experiential knowledge also improving, and then you can clearly distinguish what has really happened. So till that, you better allow things to happen. Maybe maintaining getting some guidance from a teacher, then you are safe in a way.
Yes, Bhante. So anyway, I just want to clear those parts, but in the English it's a little bit different to the Pali version and the Sinhala version, I believe. I don't know it.
Yes.
I just want to clear my mind about these words that have been used in the translation, Bhante.
Yeah.
Right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, and then I'd like to invite Don for the next question.
Hi, Bhante. Thank you so much for the Dhamma talk today.
Yes.
I actually have one question regarding the Dhamma talk today. We mentioned about Kaya Anupassana and Vedana Anupassana in Anapanasati together.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking, like, putting my question like this. You know, like, when I do Vedana Anupassana, so most likely I will monitor, or rather I will be equanimously looking at the pains and the pleasant and unpleasant feelings. And I was just wondering, where is the Anapana coming in at this stage?
So that is actually, now Anapana is the sort of mechanism or passage that we have used to these different stages, and again at any moment if mind get distracted, then that is available for us as a kind of a refuge. So this is the that is a refuge. So assume that while you are observing very subtle sensation, all of a sudden mind start to distract. Or suppose there is a kind of a perception, kind of a sign, image appearing in the mind. So you got attracted to that, and now you are feeding that, and you get lost. Now you have to have something to use as a refuge, as a safe place. So that is Anapana. So Anapana is the always kind of a background, kind of a base on which we are sort of based on which that we are functioning, in order to develop all four satipatthanas, and at any kind of an issue, then we can come and rest on Anapana.
Yes, Bhante. Some of the days I realize that I need to do because I'm either disturbed or like not cannot put in the that easily.
Yeah.
So I do that.
Yes.
Okay. So it is kind of the going in background, but of course we will proceed eventually to Vedana Anupassana and even the
Chitta Anupassana.
And so on.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understand, Bhante. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Bhante, a question that I received is, if the breath becomes fully calm at step four, how can we observe the breath in the subsequent steps? In my case, the breath appears to fully come down and I lose the sensation of the object, although the mindfulness is sharp, but the breath comes back a little later.
No, that's the thing. I mean, say if breath now. Now, point is, when we are going through vipassana techniques, so you don't need a particular object to be mindful. So that you still can't understand. So when we are explaining Chittanupassana, we can actually touch that as the fourth stage, what you call as Vimochayang Chittang Asasisamiti Sikkati. So you are releasing everything. You are relinquishing everything. So at that time, there is nothing to grasp. There is nothing to hold. You have nothing to establish your mindfulness. So that is also possible. So at this time, it appear like kind of a different domain. It appears like, say, Greek to us, because we know mindfulness only with an object. But there is a stage that you have pure mindfulness without an object. So if you can handle that or you can be in that, then you don't need to worry that looking for a object, including breath. It is true that we have used breath as a passage, breath as a technique. But ultimately, there is a situation that you are not grasping anything. You are reaching a stage where your mind is completely free. So that is highlighted in the 12th stage or 12th step. That is the last step of the Chitta Anupassana. And actually, if you refer, Satipatthana Sutta, each and every stage Buddha highlights this. So you are looking at certain object and you are observing it, and as a result of that you are improving insights. Samudaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati, vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. So this is where you are developing fair amount of insight, wisdom. And ultimately what happens? Anisitocha viharati nachakinchi loke upādhyati. So you are finding a situation where your mind does not attach to anything, not associating anything. And you are not grasping anything at all in the world. So your mind is free. So at this stage, you don't need breath. And if you are going back to breath, then it's a harm, actually. If you are going back to a Moola Kamatahana, going back to a primary object, it is harmful because no use. I mean, if you are not confident, definitely you have to go back because still you are not prepared. But if you are prepared, definitely you should not go to latch with anything, should not go to establish anywhere, rather how to have a state of mind which is unestablished. So these are very interesting things that we discuss in, Vipassana. We may discuss this further while we are talking on Chittanupassana. For the time being, need to understand, breath is available. And you can with the breath, if it is, you are doubtful. If you can't handle the unassociated kind of mindfulness. If you can handle, if you are confident, then no need. Yeah, back to you, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. I believe that's actually the last question that we received.
Okay, fine. So today we have spent a fair amount of time learning from the Buddha's teachings, Sutta teachings, and again discussing different practical aspects. So with that, we were able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share these merits with all the beings, all the past devotees, and whoever in need of merits. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. එත්තාවතාච අම්හේහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සම්බේ සත්තා අනුමෝදන්තු සම්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු